Would y'all go with me to the Lord in prayer, please? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for Good Shepherd Baptist Church. Thank you for the choir that lifts up their voice and sings the songs of Zion, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for the men and women who serve us here at this church, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, just thank you for an opportunity to come before this congregation. Lift up the name of Jesus, Lord. Lift it up so that lives might be changed, souls might be saved, but most of all, that you are glorified. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Christmas is just a couple days past us now. And for those of us over 45, the days are just zipping by. I told the men back in my office today, as I was speaking to some of the younger men, and I said, whatever you do, whatever you plan on doing, you need to get to doing it now. Because one day you're going to wake up and you're going to be 60 years old. That's if you're blessed now. That's if you're blessed. It's a good thing to get old. I like these gray hairs. They're all right. I like them. You won't come in one day and all of a sudden your pastor will have black shoe polish on his beard. And you say, man, what happened? No. The Bible says it's a blessing to have a hoary head, a white head. It's to have that hair, that gray hair. And I earned every one of them. Amen. Today, we're going to be talking about there once was a man named Jeroboam. And we'll be talking out of 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 38, and 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through 33. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 38, 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through 33. And by way of introduction, as time moves on, there's so many things that I said, and I'm sure you said, man, I'm going to do this, and I wish I could do this, and I wish I could do that. But we get distracted, and we're always trying to second guess and see, well, should I do it? Should I go this way, or should I go that way? And the Bible says, God says, I have done you a favor. I have done you a tremendous favor for all to see. There's so many things in life that we don't have to guess about. And, you know, people, well, you only live once. Well, you only live once, but God knows the end from the beginning. And he says, I'm doing you a favor. I'm giving you what we refer to as the Old Testament. I'm giving you this entire book so that you can look at it, read it, meditate on it, absorb it, and say, this person did this way, and it didn't work. And this person did this way, and it did work. So maybe I don't have to experience everything, y'all. You know, that's, you know, when we're young and crazy, you know, I just got to do it for myself. No, you don't. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. Especially when God has given you right here at your fingertips his very word, which is absolute truth, that will help guide us through every situation in life. Today we're going to talk about such an example in the man named Jeroboam. And Jeroboam, if he was living in 2015, they'd probably say he doesn't stand a chance. Because Jeroboam was the son of a slave, and his mama was a widow. So he's son of a slave in a single parent household. He don't stand a chance. That's the common vernacular. And by the way, folks, as long as we as Christians continue to agree with folks who say, because you are born son of a slave, or you were born a single parent family, or you were born this, or you were born that, you can't make it. If you keep agreeing with that, then guess what? You can't. But God's word shows me otherwise, because God is the final arbiter of everything. Everything. And I reject anybody who tells me anything that's not authenticated in this word. Jeroboam, born the son of a slave in a single family, single parent household. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings 11:38. When we read the life and times, when we read about this man named Jeroboam, when we read his biography and get to know him a little bit and get to know some of the right moves that he made and get to know some of the wrong moves that he made, it should impact us to say, okay, that's something I can do. That's something I shouldn't do. Amen. We're going to learn about the importance of obedience. We're going to learn about the importance of worship. And we're going to learn about the importance of prophecy. The importance of obedience, worship, and prophecy. All from looking at the life of a man named Jeroboam. 1 Kings 11:38. And it reads, this is God's calling of Jeroboam. God has told Solomon that because of his disobedience, think about that now. Think about that. The wisest man who ever lived, the richest man who ever lived, blew it. God gave Solomon more wisdom than anybody ever. And because he wouldn't do what God told him to do, he blew it. So now we come to the point in time where God has pronounced that he's going to pull the kingdom from him. He's going to divide the kingdom, but he's not going to do it till after Solomon dies. But he's going to, while Solomon is alive, he's going to raise up some opposition to him that will be a thorn in his flesh until he does die. And one of those oppositions was going to be a man named Jeroboam. First go to 1 Kings 11:26. We'll read that. 1 Kings 11:26. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite, and Zerah, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. That's talking about Jeroboam, his background. Verse 38, chapter 11, verse 38. And it reads, and it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and wilt walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee and build thee a sure house as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. Look at God's promise to the son of a servant from a single family household. Not too much unlike what he tells us here in 2015. Let me put it in a modern day vernacular. If you just do what I told you to do. Is that simple enough? Is that plain enough for all of us? It took me a while to get that, y'all. And I'm still working on part of it. If you will just do what I told you to do, I bless you. In fact, he told Jeroboam, this son of a servant who wouldn't stand a chance in 2015. Son of a servant, single family house, single parent household. If you, sir, would just do what I told you to do, I'll make you a sure house. I'll put you on a sure setting. And I will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. But what if I'm born on the wrong side of the tracks, God? If you just do what I tell you to do, well, what if I'm wrong? If my color is that of a minority race in the midst of society, if you just do what I told you, well, what if I'm born so super rich that I'm suffering from affluenza? If I got affluenza, God, what about that? What about, see, I was born on the right side of the track, but I got so much money, I don't know what to do with it. If you just do what I told you to do. But I was born Jewish. That's not my culture. That's not my religion. I'm a Muslim. If you just do what I told you to do, I'll set you on a sure foundation. So that's for whosoever will, y'all. Nobody's got any excuse before God. Now, I got plenty of excuses before man, but I ain't got no excuse before God to not be everything that he has called me to be, which is a man of God. And guess what? If you've named the name of Jesus Christ, you have been called to be a man of God or a woman of God. That's not for preachers and teachers only. That's for folks who say, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. I believe that he came, he died, and he rose from the dead. That makes you, that calls you to be a man of God or a woman of God. And you and I just have to make a choice to live up to it. God told Jeroboam, he said, if you do what I told you to do, it's going to go well. That's the height. That's the height of Jeroboam's career. Right there where God makes the promise to him. God says, just act right, do right. I'll take care of the rest, Jeroboam. Unfortunately, not because he was son of a servant, not because he was from a single parent household, but because he chose not to obey God. From that point on, things start going south for Jeroboam. Let us read in chapter 12, verses 25 to 33. We'll get a portion of the life of this man named Jeroboam. And it reads in the King James Bible. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of God. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam of Judah, and they shall kill me and go against Rehoboam, king of Judah, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Excuse me. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places and made priest of the lowest of people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel sacrifice.